What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another very special episode of the Vile Files, recapping the finale. I think the sentiment in this room is team no one, maybe team Justin. We have a great episode for you. We have the wonderful Mina Kimes with us, returning to the Vile Files of ESPN, and she has her own podcast, which is great. And Dr. Diane Strakowski,
yes,
is with us, longtime Bachelor fan and psychologist, who I discovered because many people had sent me some of her content from the past week, giving another expert opinion of what she saw with the Greg and Katie fight and Greg and Katie breakup. So we thought we'll get more takes from an expert, especially we assume there might be more needed conversations to dissect what we saw from a psychologist standpoint. So we have a great episode for you. Just a couple housekeeping as usual. Tomorrow I will be interviewing Greg. So we have some tough questions to ask Greg. Right off the bat, I think we're a little disappointed he has no regrets. We'll get into that. But so tune in tomorrow for Greg. Oh, by the way, everyone, thank you for nominating us. We were nominated for the
podcast awards, the People's Choice.
You're the producer. What did we get nominated for?
We got nominated for Best Male Host, Nicholas, congratulations. And we got nominated for Best Podcast in Society and Culture.
So thank you to everyone who voted and nominated us. Clearly, we wouldn't have been nominated without you. So it means a lot. Christy told me earlier. So thank you guys. Truly, this podcast means the world to me, and it wouldn't be what it is without the people listening. So thank you so much for nominating us. And now let's get to it. Dr. Diane, I wanted to start with you because, like I said, the reason why I asked you to come here is because I saw your breakdown. And, you know, I talked with Dr. Solomon about, you know, what we saw in terms of, you know, some like the gaslighting and emotional manipulation and things like that. And if you haven't listened to that very informative episode that dropped last week. But you also did a discussion on attachment styles and attachment theory, of which we didn't discuss. Can you give us a quick explanation of what you saw between the fight between Greg and Katie last week?
Absolutely. So thank you, Nick. I am a licensed psychologist. I have been in practice for over 20 years. This is my expertise, and I love watching the show because I like to look at it through the lens of attachment styles. So when it comes to attachment styles, I'll just give a brief overview. It breaks down into either you're secure, you're either anxiously ambivalent, you are either avoidant, or you are disorganized, which means you've had like abuse. Mm-hmm. So they break down in different categories. And I believe based upon your own attachment style, you're going to be watching the show and interpreting it through that lens.
So you're not only speaking about Greg and Katie, because there, you know, there's been a ton of discussions. And again, something when we recapped it last week, when I watched it, you know, we realized there's were a lot of people who were triggered by what they saw. And we have a lot of empathy for those people. I wasn't one of them. And so when I'm watching, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I didn't identify with that. But Dr. Solomon certainly helped us have a much better understanding mm-hmm. for why someone might be triggered and why it might be so hard for someone to watch, specifically a lot of women who watched it, who felt, you know, triggered, who identified
mm-hmm. yes.
and saw maybe their very toxic and potentially dangerous ex and the things they saw Greg do with or to Katie.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think there should have been like a trigger warning. I've heard from people saying mm-hmm. that they would have appreciated that. Absolutely. I think if you are the anxiously attached person yourself, you're going to be empathizing with Greg. So in my summation, I think Greg has an anxious attachment style. And what I wrote about is that he had a meltdown. Essentially, he couldn't reach Katie. So if you are the anxiously attached person, what do you need? You need empathy. You need to be seen, to be heard, to be validated, all those things that he needed. When you don't get it, you can flip into something called anxious angry. And that's what we saw. We saw him melting down. people were calling that gaslighting. But from my perspective, my clinical perspective, I would call that anxious, angry reaction. Hmm. Now, if you're someone who has more of an avoidance style, you would observe this and say, Katie gave him plenty validation. Look it. Gave him the rose, told him she loved, you know, told him he was the front runner, told him she was falling for him. So you would empathize with Katie. And this is like my husband and I. Sure, so for instance, I'm the anxious type. I'm going, oh my God, not enough. And my husband's like, he's totally validating her. So it depends on your lens.
Sure. Well, that's interesting.
And then there's the third lens, which is the person who's been abused themselves or who has had trauma or a toxic relationship and can identify. And it's going to trigger them and bring up old feelings that they have, that they've been in that situation. But again, this is a TV show and this is a snippet, and we want to be very careful about those terms that we use because we don't want to label people out of context.
Sure.
So we're careful
about
that.
Having empathy again at the same time. Now, again, like it's something I've had a lot of conversations and thought a lot about in terms of understanding why someone saw it in a different lens than I did, and why there should be empathy for the people who saw it. Because it's like you watch this TV show and it's easy to want to have these, this is my point of view, this is yours, and you know,
yes,
it's easy to, you know, Monday morning quarterback as we tried to do on this show. But in this, for this particular breakup scene, it was very personal to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And people have a story, right? They have a narrative. People wanted to identify with Katie and Greg. Somehow they saw them as this really good couple because Katie's a very expressive person and so is Greg. And so people want, they have their own confirmation bias that that's the couple that's going to win. And so what they perceived is that Katie couldn't tell him she loved him because of the show. But then in tonight's episode, we see something quite different.
Yeah.
Isn't it though, like, less that people wanted to believe and more that we were led to believe they were the perfect couple by the editing.
Right.
And then
yes.
Once that all came crashing down, rather than come to the conclusion of students of the show, such as ourselves, we were questioning, well, okay, what happened with this relationship? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's lying? Who's telling the truth? When the reality is we were probably fed a version of this relationship that was never actually the perfect relationship.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It was a nice segue to something I wanted to just offer a perspective. You know, Katie talks a lot about validation.
Yes.
When she talks with Greg. Listen, on this show, validation is a tool by the show to deceive both the audience and cast people when they're filming it. Like, it is a TV show. Mm-hmm. I don't think the show is going to even deny this. It's more interesting if you don't know who wins, if you think some person might win. And just to give some example, to Mina's point, we don't have to look any further than Rachel Lindsay's season if you watch that. Rachel's been on several interviews, we've had talks, and she's been very clear about the fact that she feels like the show underplayed or undershone her relationship with Brian to maximize the emotional response the audience was going to feel when her and Peter broke up, right? There's still people to this day who, you, if you talk to them, like, I still think she would have picked Peter if she, you know, they just like lock on to that. She's married to Brian. They couldn't be more thrilled, right? So that's one example of how the audience can be deceived. Mm-hmm. As far as cast people, you know, when Vanessa showed up, everyone gets out of a limo. I said to myself, the only person who's not going to valid a first impression rose tonight is Vanessa. She's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I know I like her. She is excluded from that. I, just being, you know, someone who'd been on the show, decided I'm not going to give Vanessa any group date roses because I don't want the audience to figure it out. And I also didn't want to get her too overconfident for fear that even someone's overconfidence that world can work against them. And then when I was on The Bachelorette, validation, no one got more validation than me. I got twice as much validation than the guys on Andy's season. And in terms on Caitlin's season, I got validation in the form of, I'm going to pick you, I love you, behind the scenes, only to be fooled twice. And again, like, I have so much empathy. And this, you know, like, I've talked about being mad at Andy and Caitlin at the time because I was hurt and I felt let on. I thought about all the things that were said. Mm. But then when I was The Bachelor, I had a lot of guilt that I was doing exactly what I was mad at with them. And, and I had to lead people on, and I had to, I said things like, oh, I'm falling in love with you too, when I didn't really believe it. You know, I convinced myself and said things like, I have so much respect for you. I think you're the best, you know, I think you're awesome. And that came out in the form of, I'm falling in love with you, because it's the lead's job to carry people along. So to Mina's point, yeah, we saw validation, but we don't really know what that validation was intended for. And as an audience, it's very easy and makes the show interesting, you know, when we believe certain kinds of validation.
And wow, Nick, for you, I'm like just having empathy for the lead and being in both those positions, right? How difficult that is to want to get the validation. And that is, again, what the anxiously attached person really needs. An avoidant person wouldn't need as much. And so that's really interesting. Also, the population, there's more anxiously attached people too.
That's so interesting. So listening to her describe the anxious attachment and in describing Greg having a meltdown actually really, it didn't change the way I felt. Yep. But what you accurately, I think, describe as a meltdown, I saw as a hissy fit.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am. And when I watched him on TV, I didn't think he was gaslighting her or being emotionally abusive for any of the things that some other people have said. But I thought, this guy, screw this guy. Like, he's being super dramatic, over the top, aggressive. But hearing you now describe it as a meltdown, I'm like, oh yeah, he was having a meltdown. Like, yeah. I don't like him, but it doesn't mean he's any of these like really awful things that people are saying.
Yeah, and again, like, we want to hold that space to not diminish anyone who was triggered by it, but like you know, when we were messaging him, like we talked last week, it was more like, for me, like I the whole season was, I didn't necessarily believe, I didn't buy the connection between Greg and Katie, and kind of maybe thought that Greg was playing into the role or being on the show. And then for me, when I saw it, right, it was just like, I just saw a guy more like I was able to empathize with a guy who, again, in that moment, not, again, just want to make it clear, not in any way justifying that he was a dick or a jerk and cold and dismissive. And again, I'm really disappointed that Greg did not have, you know, and he had no regrets.
He saw himself on TV being like a total baby and had no regrets.
Yeah. And my guess is, you know, when he watched it back, he probably was in his feelings and he brought back, you know, so, but it was disappointing to not see that reflection, and something I want to ask him if he still feels that way. But yeah, I was nevertheless able to understand why he was trying to make the insane feel real. And so that was my take. I didn't see it much as a hiss. I saw it as a, like, oh God, like, this is the guy should not be, he's not, he shouldn't be on the show.
Young, right? Insecure.
Yes.
Immature.
Yeah. Some growing up to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely.
It's so myopic in how we view these people. You know, Amanda and I were discussing, you know, Greg's kind of quiet demeanor. And then, you know, a lot of people have been like, oh, well, he's not the shock. You know, Katie kind of mentioned that. I believe two people can be both, and Greg put it on. I believe that. I agree with all that. The aw shucks, like, yeah, you know, you're a good looking dude, right?
Yeah.
I'm just simply saying.
Yeah. This is where the gender gap comes into play. I think all the girls are like, oh yeah, we know that dude. And I feel like,
yes,
you know,
I don't see it. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I think he can be simultaneously confident in life and then come on a show where he's competing with 20 other guys and become insecure, you know, because you can be, you know, you can be good at hitting on women and have a lot of insecurities. And I think Greg has a lot of unresolved shit. All right, people, as we know, it's we're in the heat of summer. No pun intended. Is that even a pun? Either way, we want to get outside, we want to loosen up, and we still want to look our best. Untuck It is here to help us accomplish that goal. And that's right, they have all types of shirts for you. Performance shirts that help wick away that sweat, because, well, as we know, it's hot, and there's nothing worse wearing a shirt that doesn't breathe and doesn't dry up fast. We want it to wick away the sweat, or any moisture of any kind, to be honest. They have long sleeve, short sleeves, polo shirts. They come in all sizes. Untuck It shirts are perfect as we transition back to the things that we have been missing, like dinner with friends, reuniting with family, and vacations too. I love my untucked shirts. I love not to tuck, like, I mean, who likes to tuck in their shirts, especially with jeans? And I certainly hate looking sloppy. You can show up looking professional as ever while still being untucked. They have all shapes and sizes, like I said, all the way up to XXXL, triple. Plus, they have slim, relaxed, and tall fits. UnTucket has 85 stores nationwide and free exchange and return. So get your UnTucket now. Use code VIALL for 20% off your first purchase at untucket.com. That's UNTUCKIT.com. VIALL for 20% off. All right, fake it till you make it, and look like a professional, even if you aren't, whether it's at-home projects or in your professional life. Canva. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. The ladies here use Canva to do all sorts of things, they truly look like professionals, and it still remains to be seen if they, no, I'm just kidding. They're fantastic. But yeah, we all have some summer projects. We're creating platforms. We're creating brands at home. Save yourself what can be truly expensive by hiring professionals to create content for you. And you can look like a pro, even if you aren't yet. Maybe you didn't go to school for all these things. Canva can help you do it. Canva comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add personality and edge to whatever it is you're designing. Sharing, creating, and organizing designs as a group has never been easier. Canva Pro helps you stay on top of team projects all in one place. No more misplaced files or tedious back and forth. With Canva Pro Content Planner, you'll save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. What's our favorite Canva Pro feature?
I have one. I had a friend come into town a few weeks ago and we forgot to take a photo together. And she was like, can you Photoshop yourself into a photo and we can pretend like we took one? And Canva Pro allows you to like put your photo in and remove the background. So then it was just my head and I could like put it on their photo on their hike and it looked like I was there.
There is not a person listening to this who hasn't wanted to do that exact thing. And I didn't even know if it was possible, but apparently it is with Canva Pro. So design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial. When you use my promo code, just go to canva.me/VIALL to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/VIALL. canva.me/VIALL.
What I say in attachment theory, too, is that you don't know who someone is. We're all like tea. You don't know who somebody is or their flavor until you put them in hot water. So you don't actually see someone's true attachment style come out until they're under duress. Mm. And so this was like John Bowlby who came up with the theory and then had this thing called the strange situation where a stranger comes in and the baby like freaks out because babies do freak out. And that's what we're seeing is as the stress is mounting. So Greg up until that point was pretty likable. He's attractive. The other men like him, right? He's a good guy in the show. I don't think there's any vibe that he's a villain. Mm. And then we see him under this duress and that's when we see the meltdown come, which is he then really needed the validation that he wasn't getting. And Katie flipped. And so that was when she was giving so much up until that point. And when she became kind of still face, that's another psychological experiment, where the mother just like changes her affect, the baby freaks out even more. Because I can't get to you. He keeps saying, you're not real. You're not the Katie I know.
And what and from your point of view,
yeah,
what is he saying or what is he communicating?
Well, he's clearly not being a good partner. I mean, yeah. Really. I mean, if he was a secure functioning guy, he would say, what is this like for you, Katie? This must be hard for you. You're going through this. And we've seen other people do that, right? Yeah. We saw Zach be a great partner to Tayshia, putting her first. Clearly, he's self-absorbed in that moment.
Right.
And all the other words we want to use with it, but he can't see it any other way. So at that point, he shuts down. Nothing she says matters. And all he can think is fight or flight, get the hell out of here.
I just couldn't believe it lasted 2 days. Because I was of the thinking, I mean, not to relitigate the prior episode, where in night one, I was like, wow, this chick, like, she is in the wrong. And then day two, I was like, oh, he's still immovable. And I was... You know, I've had fights with partners in the past before my current marriage where they would last multiple days. But like to see someone maintain that level of meltdown, continue melting down over the course of a couple of days. I was like, geez, Louise.
Well, yeah, he couldn't calm down in his body, right? I mean, he was overanalyzing, overthinking this, kept thinking she wasn't going to pick me. I'm sure he convinced himself of that. And then I'll get the hell out of here. He even said, why would I make love to you, right? And then have you not pick me.
He wasn't wrong that she wasn't going to pick him. So should we?
Yeah. Well, that's, I think that seems to be the big debate.
That's really? Floating.
Well, yeah. It seems like there is a camp that, in, you know, depending on what you think of the reaction of between Greg and Katie, but regardless, even before we saw this confrontation between Greg and Katie, I think a lot of people, and it kind of speaks to like you, what you brought up earlier, Mina and Rachel, and you know, Peter's story is Katie was going to pick Greg if Greg didn't leave. I actually don't think that. I think, and I don't say that other than I think we agree they're Blake and Katie make sense. They're compatible.
Yes.
They on so many reasons. It's like this seems like a great pairing. Let's set them up. And I'm sure Blake would think that. But yeah, what if Katie was always going to pick Blake?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I have a ton again of empathy for Katie. I know fans, you know, want to pick sides and they want to say, well, that's not cool, or you know, the lead is asked to do impossible things.
Yeah.
The lead has to lead people on. But as a result of the lead asked to be doing impossible things, the lead sometimes reveals themselves to the people trying to fall in love with them.
Right.
And most of the time it doesn't get this toxic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this time it did.
Absolutely. I mean, I watched it back carefully, and I think Greg was the front runner up until Blake showing up.
Yes.
And then you see, she says, I can see myself going home with him. I think everything changes. And it's also at that point, interesting enough, where she starts to pick on Greg. Ooh, you're moody. You know, you've got resting sad phase. She already starts this kind of, are you okay? And she asks, as an anxious person would, because I think Katie has some anxious attachment too, are you going to leave? My biggest fear is you leaving. And he says, I promise I won't.
Hmm.
And so I think that leads to some of the anger.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was the same episode where she has the great date with Blake.
Oh.
Okay,
she has the great, I just watched it back. I don't know if it was 5 or 6. And so she has a great date with Blake. And then she goes to Greg but you start seeing her and I go, oh, something switched. I watch this. I'm like, something switches.
Too. He starts getting a little jumpy.
He senses it. In fact, Greg himself says, I'm a jealous type and I am threatened by Blake. He makes it known that Blake's a player, a key contender here, right?
Right.
And so we start to see Greg. This is boiling. The pot is boiling before we see the final blow up.
I want to say something in Katie's defense, because I think some people will hear that and think, okay, again, back to the big fight. So she knew then it was Blake. I don't think she knew 100% that it was Blake at that point. I do think, though, in that moment, her unwillingness to say, I love you, to Greg, what at the time I saw as her being like, well, I'm the Bachelorette and I'm on TV and this is how it goes. I now, after the finale, view as her being like, I don't want to say I love you to this guy because I'm now, whereas I started out as 90-10 him and then it's been switching. And at this point, like the dial has shifted and I'm leaning.
Yeah, that's interesting. It makes me think about, like, I don't know the answer to that question.
It's her mind.
I will say, from what I know about conversations I've had with my peers and being in that position, that the vast majority of the time the lead has a pretty good idea who they're picking by hometowns, if not before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it was a 90-10 and 80-20 thing. And I do think maybe there was like, and I get it from Katie's standpoint, like you're the Bachelorette. Like Greg almost challenged her power. I don't know what his motives were, but you know, it's like Kate, you know, I get to say I'm dating 3 guys or 4 guys and, you know, they are, you know, she gets to say, this is my journey. I mean, that's all she's been hearing in that world.
Right.
It's her journey. It's like, you know, so you can fall victim of falling into that mindset, you know? So I guess let's finally get into the beginning of the episode. And that's a nice segue. That's already bounced around. And we're technically recapping the season here.
It's a lot.
That brings us to essentially where the show opens up. And, you know, but right off early on her date with Blake, Katie breaks through this boundary she had with Greg. And says, I fucking love you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reactions to that. I have no real problem with it. Like, she's salvaging her season. Again, I believe that she was always going to pick Blake to begin with. You know, who knows what the real truth of why she didn't tell Greg. But it's clearly her guy. You know, you were, Dr. Dan, you were talking, like, you know, she got dumped. She didn't get dumped by Michael. Michael had to leave because his son, Greg, left. That is hard for any lead.
Devastating.
It's just like you're just told that you hold hard all the cards. And it's if being broken up with in real life is a blow to your ego, it's magnified times 1,000 if you're the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just empathizing with Katie, but, you know, people are now going to criticize her for, you know, again, even if it was ego, why she reacted so, you know, much to being, I'm going to quit, I'm going to leave, almost to the discredit of her relationship with Blake. She bounces back and obviously wants to validate that relationship. And she does in the form of a very definitive, I fucking love you.
Yes.
Too. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, here's the thing about a boundary. I think part of the problem is that she also didn't say it from the beginning. I'm all for women having boundaries, right? But she didn't tell Greg at the beginning or any of them. I'm only going to tell one at the end. And I felt like she was kind of losing control. And then she said, I'm going to have this boundary, which is to only tell one person. But she had to. She had to tell Blake at that point because he's questioning, right? If you're devastated that Greg leaving, she had to tell him she loved him.
Yeah, and can we just go back to the setting upfront expectations and boundaries? Because, you know, obviously you may not know what your boundary is until you know it and you communicate it. But just explain why it's more effective to be very clear about your boundaries upfront when you're getting into any situation.
Absolutely, whether it's a sexual relationship or a show about who I am, because, you know, we were talking earlier, you don't know the definition of what really love means to one person or the other. If I'm somebody who maybe is anxiously attached, I might say I love you more easily than someone who's avoidant, who like never says it. So I think, again, through the lens of that context, what does that meaning mean? So you have a way to interpret what this means. But when you're going to set a boundary, you have to be clear about the boundary, state what it is, also be empathic, right, in stating that, and understand the person might have feelings about that because she didn't ask anyone how they felt about that, right? And there's a premise of the show that what the lead will do or won't do. And if you're going to do something different, then I think you just need to say that and then reinforce your boundary.
Yeah, I mean, it's something they used to fucking train us at Salesforce when I was selling software. Just before you start, go into a sales meeting, upfront expectations.
Yes.
You know, that way there's no surprises.
Right.
People know what you're dealing with. You're like, hey, some ground rules of let's set some, you know, that's why, you know, and refs in a game. Like, here are the rules of the game. Here's, you know, if you were all of a sudden playing a game and in the third quarter, I was like, oh, by the way, no, that's a foul. And you're like, what? Huh? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Huh? You know? So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, more nuanced and complicated in life, but if you have the chance to set a boundary early on, best to do that.
Yes.
Then. So, yeah, they seem to have a good date. Morning after. Amanda felt like in the morning. am I calling you out? No. No, like, did you not like the morning scene?
No, I was just noticing that was the first time I've ever seen a bachelorette genuinely look like it was the morning after. Like, that's the first time we've seen bachelorettes with a light makeup or no makeup look. That's the first time we've seen last night's makeup on. Yes. And it was truly spectacular seeing a woman truly wake up in the morning.
Katie has been very open and very like, this is who I am, you know, owning her kind of, you know, she wears Hanes t-shirts on bachelorette dates. You know, I don't know what the brand name is, but like,
she's more casual.
Plays. Yeah. So I feel like that's on brand.
Oh, no, but it was like, I noticed it too, because it was in contrast with earlier in the episode when she wakes up perfectly made up, wearing leggings, which no woman is sleeping in what she wore in her, yes, her like fake sleep scene. And then to see her with like an obvious, oh shoot, she just had sex and fell asleep, bra on the floor, eyeliner underneath the eye. I enjoyed it. I bought them so much as a couple. I bought all of it. And it sucks that it's been overshadowed by all of this other stuff. I mean, the Bachelor producers obviously don't think it sucks, but
I would argue that they came across as one of the more compatible couples that we've seen on the show. When you look at, like, you know, mostly we fall in love with a couple based off of what we see, like their connection and what, you know, the words of affirmation, or for they're two hot people or whatever. But like, there's so many reasons that Blake and Katie make sense.
His description of the moment when he realized he was in love with her, I thought was really beautiful. It was really specific. He said, we were playing hockey and you screamed, "Go America." And I looked at her and I thought, I fucking love her. Like, it's usually a lot more vague and journey and this and that. And I was really charmed to hear someone describe it in concrete, specific terms. And I found it super realistic.
I totally thought that Katie would fill in great with Blake's family. We can also talk about Katie's family.
Totally.
But yeah.
They'll be spending a lot of time in the Niagara Falls area.
Exactly. I could see them.
Thanksgiving in Niagara.
I totally agree. I think they have a great vibe together. Yeah.
So then Katie has to break up with Justin. Let's just, you know, spend a moment to appreciate really the only winner.
Justin
was the only winner of tonight's episode. Yes, he's the only one who really loved everything you saw. I love the montage of the facial
expressions.
Thank you. You know, and my guess is, kind of speaking to validation and what we see, you know, we're appreciating Justin, but like teasing the fact that, like, why you here, bro, kind of thing. And my guess is, if you sat down with Justin, that he would be, you know, like, he's not an idiot, that he really liked Katie. And there was probably a lot of Justin and Katie moments that we didn't get to see because we have a Michael storyline we have to get to. We have an Andrew S storyline we have to get to. We have a Griggs. You know, there was a lot of good stuff this season and a lot of good content. And Justin was a casualty of that.
I'd like to say something about this, because I think what was most important was, and after the final rose, when actually Katie says to Justin, you were vulnerable and you opened up and don't stop doing that. Keep doing that. I loved that, because so many times you see somebody leaving in the limo crying, I opened my heart out. I'll never do that again.
It's true. It's true.
And I thought this was a beautiful moment to say, because he is, in my opinion, a little bit more on the avoidance side. His parents didn't show up, right? They're like, forget that. You know, we're not going. And so,
I mean, I almost respect it, but
I do. I mean, there were funny memes about that, but
the food was terrible there. They didn't miss out.
The point was that if you're not vulnerable, Justin, you'll never get there. And so I thought, what a journey he was on. And I loved that she actually reinforced that. So I thought that was really positive.
So sweet. And now I feel bad, because my only contribution was going to be that I saw him as the 7-9 of contestants. Like, he won the NFC East. He made it to the playoffs. Half of your listeners like, what the hell is she talking about?
Basically, to the playoffs.
He made it in by default. No. But
Amanda and I both appreciate that. Yeah.
Somebody's got to make it in from the division.
And I like to think we have a very knowledgeable female audience who
we got
also,
football fans.
Yeah, okay. We got football fans.
All right. All right. So. Well, Justin, I appreciate you. I especially appreciated in the finale, after the final rose, pardon me, when we talked about this, when they teased the Greg and Katie, which they, by the way, been, to use another sports metaphor, they were literally teasing that thing like the UFC title card. And they were like, they're all the undercards, and they kept showing like, but coming up, the Greg and Katie showdown. And Justin was like, ooh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that. I laughed. That was the funniest moment of the episode for me. A king.
Pour one out for Justin.
Yes.
I don't think we'll see him in paradise.
No.
I hope. Listen, I personally, I think it's a good move. I think he can.
Is it?
Yeah, it goes away for a year. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, being the runner up from the previous season, if he wants to come on, he's a great looking guy.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of women would be into dating Justin. So I think he can get on the beach next season if he wants to. So he'll be fine. Yeah. And if not, then he...
You can just hang out with some blue cheese dressing. Do you remember when he got excited that Katie also liked blue cheese?
Yes, personality. Blue cheese and weird roses.
I think there's a lot of women out there would appreciate a man, and because I know I'm not good at, to always like make, just be excited about fucking everything. Just like I'm, you know, she comes in with an idea, whoever she is in this relationship, and he's just like, fuck yeah. As opposed to like, cool. Yeah, I'm down. Yeah. So I think Jess is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Let's get to Blake meeting Katie's family. We're going to lead off with you again, Dr. Diane.
Where to begin with that? Well, I'll tell you what was going through my mind, because I was trying, this whole season, I've been trying to formulate this idea whether Katie is anxiously attached or not. And you can't really decide until you see the family, because it's not who someone is in the moment where their pot is boiling. It's who they were from the beginning. And so I love hometowns because I want to see the snippet of the parents. Like, that means everything to me. So, the aunt, I'm sorry, Lindsay, Aunt Lindsay.
Aunt Lindsay.
Ooh, my. Yes, I am woman. Here we roar. We need no men, no beards.
I just want to point out, Blake's like, yeah, I'm going to Africa for a month. And she did this like eye twitch for like, we're going to be seeing memes for every, I mean, I'm going to be using Aunt Lindsay meme eye twitch with anything that's just like, that sounds off. Please continue.
Anyway. Yes, of course. And then the mother, what I was actually impressed with the mother, she softened, if you noticed at some point,
totally,
right?
Yeah.
From the beginning, she was like, I want to, you know, look out for my daughter. I'm getting the sense there's this whole backstory about these women and they themselves have had some hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Katie, as we look back, you know, she told her story, I think it was to Andrew S., right, about having financial instability, having a rough childhood, not wanting to replicate her parents' marriage, what she saw, there was a divorce in there. The father, if you know, is not her biological father. I mean, there's a lot of complexity here in this. So anyway, I just felt bad for Blake, right? I mean, like, that's a lot. And these are intense questions like, well, what are you going to do? And, you know, she's like, that's cute. So that was tough. But from that perspective, I actually got an understanding of where Katie is in her power, I am woman, hear me roar, and why she wants to be an advocate. Because these are the women that who have raised her to be independent and not need a man, but that can be tricky in relationships. Because then does she have to give that up? And then does she have to be like the little woman who her aunt was kind of implying in some ways, if you go along with this guy? So I actually felt for Katie in that moment, like, wow, what a juxtaposition. I want a traditional relationship and be happy. And yet I'm feeling this pressure from my family that I shouldn't want or need a man.
Yeah, it's a tightrope, right?
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, we're starting to have these nuanced conversations. And listening to Aunt Lindsay, it reminded me of my first relationship when I was 18. And, you know, I know, like, I remember her mom sitting me down and telling me men are replaceable, you know. And I remember for our entire relationship trying to prove myself to her mom and with no success. But how do we, not how we, but like, yeah, because you understand, we empathize and understand the empowerment kind of message that seems to be embedded in those statements, but that can be problematic, obviously, in a relationship where you'd prefer, I'm assuming, to hear things like, you know, partnership, team,
yes,
kind of things like that. And for someone like Blake going in this relationship, yeah, it can be I'm assuming a little scary in terms of like, well, what does that really mean? You don't need me, because like, I get it, like, you, I know you will survive without me. But I want to imagine in a relationship we need each other. And like, and I get it in a romantic way, but like that
yeah,
can be a
healthy interdependence.
Yeah, do you see that a lot with the kind of couples kind of almost invalidating their partner's right up, like, is significance? Because isn't that what it almost, and again, I don't, maybe they didn't mean to do that, but
well,
how does
I think it's an uphill battle for Katie. She's going to have to prove, right, to these two, you know, her mother and her aunt, how she feels about Blake. And Blake's going to have to prove that over time. But eventually, I hope they would soften because, you know, to your point, that's an uphill battle, one that you feel like this is a whole narrative that I can't, you know, I can't mount over that, right? Mm. I can't win that.
I think it's telling, by the way, you mentioned that you had this interaction with a girlfriend's parent when you were like 18 because like that was my reaction watching like your daughter or your niece is 30, right? You're talking about her like she's a child, and that's not empowerment. Empowerment is trusting your daughter or son to make their own decisions and supporting them and questioning them and being, and I thought the mom was a little bit more like a normal line of questioning, frankly. But I don't want to roast her aunt, like the internet's already doing that work right now, but like, you know, it I don't think, I hear what you're saying about like Katie and how that's probably a complicated dynamic, but I also think throughout the course of the season, I never really saw anything from her that suggested that she's not going to have the sort of relationship you describe, a more healthy, interdependent one.
Yeah. And it was interesting too, because we were talking about before, I really appreciate, and I think Bachelor Nation does as well, the parents who bring a level of realism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
When they walk in, whether it's hometown dates or at the finale, like now, when they literally, they see their kids come in often with this kind of glazed look, you know, it's like they sent their son or daughter off to summer camp and they came back like, oh, you know, they all had this conversation like, hey mom, I'm going on this trip. I'm like, I'm sure I won't fall in love. I'll probably like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going on. Like, and hometown's just like, I've never been
cult,
more in love.
Cult behavior,
you know. And so I appreciate the families that are like, all right, everyone, calm down. Yeah, like love. Let me tell you about love. Mm-hmm. You know. So I appreciate where Aunt Lindsay's coming from. Yeah. She just like overplayed her hand a little bit and maybe projected a little bit of some of her own maybe personal experiences. So like I get it, but like.
And at the end of the day, I don't know how, you know, Katie did say we talk about everything, but we don't know how close they are and how much that will factor in. And so, you know, they are adults and you hope that they will, you know, leave their own life in their way.
Yeah. And I thought Blake handled it as well as you could.
I did. I did too. I think we all sort of felt for him like, ouch.
Yeah. I mean, Blake's been the butt of some jokes and memes of the past couple of seasons. Obviously, he's constantly reminded of how many bachelorettes he dated, and I can empathize with that joke. But he seems to be an emotionally mature guy. I don't know what age Blake is, but he's like, what I love about Blake is he knows who he is, right? And I think men, you know, we talk about men maturing later in life. I don't feel like I really knew who I was until I was 30. Mm-hmm. I thought who I know I was in my 20s, but I remember having a okay. And then from that moment forward, it was being more confident with who I am, owning not only my strengths but my insecurities. And I think you see that in Blake, kind of just being okay with like, I don't know, fuck, I'm a weird guy, I'm into some weird shit, I like syrup, like whatever. And so props to Blake for handling that situation, because imagine Greg meeting Aunt Lindsay.
Oh my God, I wanted to see that part of me in like a sick, like voyeuristic way. Get like, oh my God, like horror movie stuff.
I mean, truly, that been, like imagine.
I mean, but I want to hit on something with Blake that we kind of skipped over. He handled Katie telling her that she thought about quitting pretty well and like bounced back. And I think with the level of resilience that she was clearly looking for in a partner, and made it a lot easier for her to say, I love you, kind of seeing that. It's not saying he's better than Greg. I'm just saying your point about different people in different relationships, he's clearly a different kind of guy.
Oh, and that's what somebody who is more anxious is going to need, an anchor of some type, right?
Yeah,
somebody
he's an anchor.
Who's going to calm you down and be there. She said it many times. He's confident. He's there for me. He supports me.
Beefy anchor.
That's absolutely right. And so
I do think it's a part of Blake. When I went on Caitlin's season, I remember telling myself, if you're going to do this, you're fucking all in. You know, like, and I do think there's a part of Blake who, like, he didn't show up week four to get cold feet. And that, I think that all in and having that experience allowed him, again, to be the empathetic you know, guy that Katie definitely needed, especially, you know, when, you know, that Greg couldn't be, and that Greg wasn't even before that moment. You know, I'm sure Blake must have been insecure about Greg at times.
Yeah.
Right. But like Blake was just like, fuck it. I don't care if I get my heart broken. I'm here and fuck it. I'm here.
And by the way, he was like, to the three bachelorettes thing, he was clearly the Justin of Tayshia's season. And if you needed evidence of that, Tayshia sat down with the rings with him. Like, these people never thought that relationship was ever going anywhere. And they're in a great place now. They're good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. What happens next?
Oh, God. 20 minutes of, is he going to propose?
Yeah. Right. So is he going to propose? Is he not going to propose? What are we missing, Amanda?
Boring.
You have a look on your face. No.
It was so confusing.
You got to stretch it out. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, Katie did can't. Like, they ended the season short. So you got to fill 20 minutes. I guess let's just get to the meat. AFR. As I mentioned last week, my greatest fears were realized. I was hoping Katie would lean into her happiness. opted for the opposite. Again, I think we're all in agreement here. We believe Katie was always going to pick Blake regardless of Greg left. And unfortunately, with Katie wanting to express what she, you know, called anger, or I guess let's wanted to express her anger, decided, well, she was very angry. And again, I'm just going to start off with you, Dr. Diane. Like, what does this invalidate Katie's feelings towards Blake? It almost felt like Katie had to make a choice in her mind. Do I want to come across as the advocate and defend myself what I felt like was being mistreated? Or do I want to focus and just show that, you know, I'm happier now? I mean, keep in mind, they have there's like a 2-3 month gap between when Greg and Katie fought, between them filming this, and she seemed to have opted for the former, but maybe not. I'm curious about your take in terms of, like, what do you think Katie's mindset was, or what did you see?
I'm going to go with, she could do both. I think she could be in love with Blake and be happy with Blake, but come back into that scenario, and this is what a trigger is, when you're in a scenario and a person or a smell or something clicks off your negative reaction, and she saw Greg, she said, I don't know what I'm going to say to him, but then all of a sudden there were all those feelings.
She heard him say, I don't regret anything.
Yeah. That
pissed her off.
Was the flame. That, so here she is, we talked about all the pressure that she'd felt, she'd had two guys leave. Also, Andrew, right? She went after him, said you can come back. I mean, I think that was an abandonment wound. I think there's something bigger going on here. Again, back to her family. I don't know. I'm not her therapist. I don't know the whole story. But my feeling is there's something unresolved here. Because when you have an overreaction, that hints at something that's unresolved. Mm. And I felt like it was an overreaction. I mean, we can all say, ooh, what not to do. That felt really strong. And so in my thinking, this is her anxious, angry moment. Greg had his meltdown. This was hers. How dare you? I was begging. You didn't say goodbye. And you promised me you would never leave. All of these are triggering her abandonment wounds. And it is right there in front of her. And you're the pretty boy. You've probably done this to other women. And I am an advocate for all women. And I'm going to champion this cause. And because lots of other men walk away with no consequences, I will make sure there will be consequences.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
That's my dick.
No, I want to throw one more thing in there, which is Katie is also, I believe, extremely online. So in addition
Oh, she's well-read.
Yes, having all these feelings, she's also spent the last month on the internet watching people say, well, Greg. So boiling. She's boiling. They're both boiling all the time. It's
boiling over. Yeah.
It's just, it's overreaction, then an overreaction, then an overreaction. Like, no one, clearly these people should not have been together. That's, if there's anything I think we can all agree on, it's
there.
Yes.
But so she's been watching the internet fawn over this dude. She's probably been
also been then reading the blogs, reading stuff, and the Reddit, and then reading the you know, the I mean, this is where the...
She said it.
She said it. I've been reading... She literally was like, I've been reading Reddit say that you took an acting class.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. So that I do... I want to talk about that because I didn't... I asked Amanda for an explanation because they didn't really dig into the details. And I guess he went to an acting school.
Well, we'll be asking him tomorrow.
Okay. So what I found actually... So if... Nick, going to an acting school doesn't mean anything. First of all, obviously doing Bachelorette has nothing, it's not going to help your acting career. And
yeah, his manager definitely gave him wrong advice.
Yeah, if that's the case. However, I did think it was strange, and maybe this isn't true, but the way she presented it was like she didn't know that. And I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. This dude went to acting school for 2 years and you didn't know? I think that's a little weird. And
like
I think
she should have known on the online meeting.
No, he should have told her.
It didn't come up in their relationship.
How did it not come up if he went for,
to know each other?
For 2 years recently.
Again, I just, there's so little time. Mm-hmm. And in that world, you're not asked to talk about, I didn't talk about software. I didn't talk about hobbies. That's the thing. Like it's an imperfect world.
Yeah.
And you're meant to talk about your tragic story or why you got cheated on or something about a pat, you know, like Greg's story was his father. And also they might have talked about it. We didn't see it.
She could be lying or misrepresenting, or maybe he told her. But I think it's weird.
Mina's point, though, is that like Mina was so surprised when she read it on the internet because it was something that hadn't come up in their conversation.
And
I think a lot of this could have been avoided. Like Greg didn't have to delete the acting stuff off of his LinkedIn, or like he could have mentioned it to Katie. I think part of the reason there's so many more.
Exactly. There's a fear, though,
when you go in and you're aware of.
You don't want to be looking sus. But to me, it's less that he deleted it and more that he potentially didn't tell her that recently he spent 2 years studying acting. I just want to say this, though. I'm less trying to make a point about Greg being sus and more back to what I was saying. This girl's been on the internet. She's seeing people fawn over this dude. She finds out he had this whole thing he didn't tell her about. I'm just thinking, okay, you see all of these little pieces of information sort of amassing, and then like you said, boom, it breaks, and he says, you know, she sees him and loses her shit.
Well, I think she's also shocked. I think she's shocked with this information she finds out after the fact. I think she prided herself, and I actually really thought Katie was a great bachelorette. She was an empowering person. She was getting rid of all the villains quicker than any other bachelorette ever had. We didn't have any villains that were staying around that long.
Yeah, huh?
We didn't, right?
I mean,
she listened
to
the guys
left right when Blake showed up,
right?
And then, you know, like what Hunter,
but she
really
took the feedback and she acted on it. And I think she was upset then, talking about the anger part, the rejection part, where here's one actor, another actor, and I missed it.
Yeah, and I hear this, we hear this a lot, like on Ask Nick or I felt used. I felt misled. I felt like you told me one thing, you know, the fuckboy mentality of like, you told me you were someone else and I'm realizing you were different, you know, and so that
they were both blindsided. I think Greg felt blindsided by Katie from the beginning, like you were warm and then you changed.
Yeah.
And then I think Katie felt blindsided by him that he left. And I just see a lot of raw emotion. We don't need to label it anyone. You don't need to be a psychologist to see that this was just raw emotion on display. I don't believe it was acting. I think you're all pumped up. You probably see these scenes and then boom, you've got a mic on.
Well, that's the thing I don't get. And I think that's where Katie reading the internet, I think, hurt her kind of.
Sure.
Almost kind of got in her own thoughts. And then she's thinking about this and I, you know, feeling used. But it's. You know, like, okay, maybe he was acting, okay, but like, I don't know if he can be both acting that out and simultaneously, like it just, I guess I don't get the acting part. I don't know. It just like, how can he, is he someone who lost it and was kind of a dick about it, or was he acting? That's where I didn't really get that.
I think it's the latter. I don't think he was acting. I think he was into her, or, you know,
thought he was into her.
Yeah,
that's like one of, that's another thing. People, you know, mm-hmm. love it. Like, I'm really curious about your thought, Diana. It's like, you know, love is so subjective. It can mean a million different things to a million different people. The falling in love, I love you. Like, you know, when you're 18, it means something. When you're 40, it means something else. And they're sitting here like debating whether like Katie's like, I don't think you know what love is, and Greg's like, but I loved you. And in Bachelor World, like.
Yes.
You think you're in love, you know? And it's toxic love for sure.
Neither of them loved each other. That's the hilarious thing. Like, we're having this whole, like, well, who's in the wrong and who loved who? Neither of them loved each other. Not only should neither of them been together, but at the end, I don't think either of them actually loved each other. And I think ultimately she just felt like she had spent probably two, like right after the show, as she said, I felt like I was wrong. I was blaming myself. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then suddenly she gets all this new information like, oh, wait, wait, what? What? This guy didn't tell me this and didn't tell me that. And I'm hearing this. And
yeah, it's clearly just two people, I think, who aren't handling conflict very well. Right.
Or that.
They both are, they're both, their buttons are pushed. They're outside of their limits. They're dysregulated, right? Your heart rate gets up. You get really upset. And it's really hard in that moment. I mean, I can armchair this and say, you know, in a perfect world, you know, Katie could have said 100 different things that would have shown that, you know, to give, actually hold Greg accountable something and still play out her positive story. But I think to the viewers, it's a little bit unsatisfactory because you do want to like root for Katie and Blake, but then you've got this hangover here with this, all this negativity, right? It's like, oh.
Yeah. And again, to your point, you know, like, it, you know, Katie mentioned that she was angry as a justification almost for leaning into to Greg. And that's kind of goes back to last week's, you know, fight where, again, we can both empathize with why someone might have felt the way they did. We, you know, we've been discussing why Katie might have felt triggered by all this. And last week, certainly, we spent plenty of time empathizing, or at least, you know, I empathize with why Greg might have been mad. Not a justification for either person for expressing their anger the way they do.
Yeah.
And it sometimes feels like almost a disconnect of like who could or who should. Is it better? Is it more justified after the fact because the relationship's over, et cetera, et cetera? Like, I mean, just more like when you meet with your couples, or like, where's the line between, you know, just being shitty in your feelings and needing to apologize for those feelings versus, you know, again, recognizing where things are taking a more dangerous turn?
So I give this short little narrative. I'm just going to give you this story. There's this little, this boy who's super angry, and his dad gives him a box of nails and says, when you're angry, I want you to go back in the fence and nail, put those nails in the fence. So the kid does, goes through the box of nails quickly. Then the dad says, I want you to come now and pull those nails out. And he does. And he goes, what do you have in that fence? You've got holes. You've got holes in the fence. So even if you're justified in your anger, you have now put holes in your relationship that you're going to have to fix. And so, short little story, but poignant, that there's anger here and you can't justify it. It's going to cause a reaction in your partner, and it's sometimes very hard or impossible to recover. Like, I don't see this, there's no recovery here. We can't keep rooting for them. The story's over. They shouldn't be together. He wasn't meeting her needs for security. She wasn't meeting his needs for validation. It was just a mismatch.
Yeah.
And I think we do need to go with the narrative that Blake is a better partner for her. And these were just two people who were so into their feelings and they didn't have time enough to calm down. So if I was working with them, I'd say, okay, let's do some somatic treatment, deep breathing. Physiologically, you've got to calm down. Like, calm down before you carry on. Your brain is on fire, essentially. Mm. And nothing good comes of that. So like your limbic system is, you've popped your lid, and until you calm down, you can't think rationally.
You're like the opposite of producers on The Bachelorette who are like, fire, like, manning it, like, let's keep it going.
Yeah. Like, so I'm like, calm down, take a breath, you know, and I actually had to give a moment of silence too, because even as the viewers, they're like sad for this story. They were all wrapped up in it too. And it's like hard to wrap their head around it. Now you wanted me to flip my, you know, like Blake. And it's like,
we got an in memoriam. I mean, it's
exactly,
this is true of any, forget The Bachelor or Bachelorette, of any movie or TV show. If you're introduced to a character first, they're the protagonist. And it really speaks to, I think, the effect of just having Blake arrive 4 weeks into the season. Like, we'd feel so different if it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
That's right. The OG. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, have you ever watched The Notebook lately? You're talking. Like, it's like a love story with Revere. And those two fuckers were super toxic.
So toxic.
Oh, my God. I've done a post on that. It is not what you think.
I did a whole episode on my Patreon. Oh, yeah. Like, he got a date by threatening suicide. That's it. That's how the relationship started. I'm going to kill myself if you don't accept a date. Like, and from there forward, he, you know, like, so it's just, I think, a lesson on, like, you know, romanticizing what love means. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, get in our feelings. And certainly I remember 18-year-old me thinking, fight harder mm-hmm. every time, you know, I would, and like fight for this. And yeah, and like we want to believe love is good enough. And sometimes we just have to be okay with walking away and not doing some of that shit. And I think the Greg and Katie story is a great reminder.
And I do want to defend Katie for a minute, though, when she said, you know, you really didn't love me then. And to her point, right? If your partner has a bad moment, you wouldn't run away.
Yeah.
And that you would struggle through that. And that's what real love is. And, you know, when we're talking about this, this is limerence, as they call it. This is infatuation phase. This isn't like agape love, which is like deep love. Real love, which is acceptance. And so you have to be with a partner who does truly accept you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's just where the fallacy of the show comes in, where, again, it's one of those things you know, people ask me, like, I for the rest of my life, like, when I said I love you to Caitlin, I meant it. Like, sometimes I don't even like it owning that because it's not the same as my other relationships. I don't even think of them as ex-girlfriends. I just know that when I express those feelings, I felt it was genuine, regardless of reflecting back and realizing it was probably like just a mountain of manipulation and misdirection and intensity, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's where it gets a little complicated because, yeah, we all agree, not real love, but it's also like both Katie and Greg were invalidating each other's feelings when the other person was saying, no, this is how I feel. They're like, no, I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, questioning each other's motives. And just back to the point, they just shouldn't be together.
Yeah, nobody was listening, right? Both were talking at each other.
This is a happy outcome. It doesn't feel like now. But imagine if, let's say Katie had reciprocated. Let's say Blake hadn't shown up, Katie had reciprocated. Greg and Katie wouldn't be together in a happy relationship. No.
Yeah, maybe we are wrong. Maybe Katie would have picked Greg.
Yeah.
And been like, oh, fuck, he's just, I don't know, he's too hot to let go. Like, I can't.
Center
There's
part,
a lot you know? Of emotional labor there, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where also in her championing this, you know, and kind of maybe attacking him, it's like, I'm tired of doing all the emotional labor for men. And now you're asking me, you know, you didn't give me some slack in that moment too. Hmm. So, you know, I can totally see it from both sides.
One thing I want to discuss, I think it's important to kind of overall world level dating and relationship. Katie brings up gaslighting on the episode. Caitlin asks her what she means. She defines it. She misdefines it. And what does she say, Amanda? How does she define it?
If anybody remembers, I think she was like, it's when someone like convinces you.
Makes you feel like you did something
blames
wrong.
Blames you.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're doing
projects
something
wrong. Projects onto
you, I think. I only want to bring this up and in no way to give Katie a hard time. We've all, non-professionals, misdiagnosed or misdefined things because we read it somewhere. And interesting enough, like, it's not necessarily far off, but also it's very vague and broad, right? She's kind of basically saying anytime we have a misunderstanding. In Katie's defense, I think she defined it in a way that a lot of people in our society are using it.
Allie is reminding us that what Katie said was, it's when someone makes you think that it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Fault, thank you, yeah. Allie. But to that point, I think a lot of people out there last week, I think you told us, Dr. Diane, it was one of the most searched things on the internet.
Yes.
What is gaslighting?
What is gaslighting? Yes.
And I think a lot of people were often define it as this kind of very broad brush thing, mm-hmm. while still simultaneously attaching it to abuse and toxic behavior. And so in addition to like gaslighting, stonewalling, love bombing, all these things, we're hearing it more and more. It's becoming our everyday kind of vocabulary with dating and relationships. Why is it important to like be very careful how we define things? Or because I think it's almost being, again, not intentionally, but almost weaponized in relationships. Because imagine being accused in a relationship, hey, you're having a fight with your partner and you're like, I feel like you're gaslighting me. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that fight turns it like, I would shut off. I do not want to be accused of gaslighting. And especially if Katie's thinking like, you're making me feel like it's my fault. I mean, in fights, I think that's what we're often doing, is making the other person feel, because we're just, I don't know, I'm just in my feelings. Like, do you see what's going on there, and what so do we need to be careful?
I think the terms themselves are getting people triggered, right? And we do have to be careful. So, you know, to be a psychologist, you have to go to many years of school. We have something called the DSM. Let's say, like, narcissism even. You have to have many, you have to have, you know, 10 different categories and to an extreme over a lifetime. We're looking at patterns, because that's a personality disorder.
Yeah.
Gaslighting's not even in the DSM. It's a behavior. But gaslighting originally meant like a long-standing manipulation to make somebody think that they were going crazy, like turning down the gas lights. And this man is like making this woman feel like she's losing her mind. In the moment, you know, back to your point, you could just say, you're not listening to me. But if you say you're gaslighting me, that implies a whole other level of pathology. So I, as a psychologist, get worried about this. Even the word of ghosting. You know, my boyfriend didn't text me back. He's ghosting me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not what ghosting means. Ghosting means you have a relationship with someone and then they completely disappear. So we use these words so lightly. And what I worry about is it just creates more fear. So what I'm seeing in the trend in dating, and why I developed this love style quiz I have, and I now know the data on like how people stack up, we're seeing more anxiety in the population because we throw these terms around. So now everybody walks around and fears there's going to be another narcissist, another gaslight, not also thinking that there are good people out there.
Yeah.
And so I want to diminish the fear by saying, yes, those things are there, but they're more extreme than you think. So be careful when you're using the terminology casually, because then we make it think that it's happening more than it is.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just like, you know, love bombing, you know, like, yep, especially as we like relate it to the show. I mean, people are love bombing on week two and they're like, I think I'm falling in love with you. I'm like, bro, you've met her for 6 minutes, you know, and things like that. But I love how you said that, because, yeah, it does seem like it's, you know, we want to learn. There's all these podcasts out there. There's TikToks everywhere about all these things. And it's like, oh, I've been told this and I recognize this and I want to speak up for myself. And I didn't know how to define it before, you know, because I feel a lot of people, we've been in these toxic relationships. We feel like this was going on. You're like, oh, that's what I was dealing with. But yeah, it's good to know to be careful.
Yes. Well, because if you want to put yourself out there, and you're going to have to go through some fear and go through some, there are some players out there for sure. You have to be able to spot them quicker, the red flags, but know that there's green flags out there too, and then reinforce those people. Because if you have all of this fear, then how are you going to get to the other side?
How do we wrap this up, Blake? I mean, Blake and did we like the Blake?
No.
It's
cringy.
Well, I mean, listen, I felt like it was we need to do something to make sure the audience thinks they're in love. We all believe in the Blake and Katie potential.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there are roadblocks ahead, just because the show started on The Bachelorette, and, you know, hope we don't know what their living situation is going to be, how Blake's African trip went, if Aunt Lindsay even allowed that to happen. So a lot of unanswered questions for the couple, but yeah, it was a little cheese, but a remarkable Bachelor in Paradise.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Cannot wait.
A quote I got from a cast person from this season. I won't name the person. They replied to me last Tuesday and they said, if they think this is gaslighting,
oh no,
they're in for a rude awakening.
Woo!
So,
oh my
put
God.
Your seatbelts on.
Drama mama.
And let's just be careful when we watch Paradise. You know, it is a show. And we'll probably, we will see toxic behavior.
Oh,
we
boy.
Will see a lot of, we'll see a lot of bad behavior, which I think, let's try to enjoy it. All while trying to have empathy for those who might be triggered by it. Anything else? Any closing? Dr. Dan, thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome.
Mina,
thank
you so much for coming.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure to have you, and you were an absolute delight. Can you share with our audience where they can follow you, enjoy some of this content you've been talking about, learn more about the psychology of dating relationships, please let them know.
Yes. So I am Dr. Diane Strakowski, the Back to Love Doc, B-I-C-K-T-O.
On the gram?
On the gram. That's where I live. And I've got a workshop coming up too. And but I also have a quiz. You can just text the word love to 33777.
Wow.
And so if people want to know what lens they're coming at it from, are they anxious? Are they avoidant? Are they more the secure type? I've just got fun 10 little questions. Take my quiz in 2 minutes and you'll have the results.
Great. Mina, please indulge our audience with where they can enjoy your wonderful content.
I'm scared to take your quiz because you were describing the different types based on like how they watch the show. And I'm like, wait, where's asshole? Because that's the one I clearly am. Because I was like, these people suck. No, they don't suck. They suck. They don't suck. I did say I was team no one, though. But I would like to amend that. I am team Justin with a little side of team Blake, I think, after this conversation.
You know what? You're right. I think we need to give Blake some appreciation.
Yeah. Team Blake.
He really had to go through a lot.
Yes.
And he was, he was he truly is. I hope he makes it because it feels like we saw a very compatible relationship.
Mm-hmm. Totally. He just happened to show up 4 weeks too late for the world to feel that way. I have a football show called The Mina Kimes Show featuring Letty.
Her dog.
Who is my dog?
She's a great follow. If you enjoy sports and someone who has hot takes, both analytically and color commentary, Mina delivers both. Make sure to follow her and listen to all of her content. Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate you again nominating us for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. We will be back in a few hours, probably with a Greg episode. And interviewing him, and we will then be, you know, back next week with some more great guests. Thanks for listening. We love you. Everything's gonna be fine, everybody. Congrats, Katie and Blake, and go Justin.